But we start hour number three by having a conversation with an NFL.com senior columnist, NFL Network on-air talent. He is a Sports Emmy Award winner. He was a panelist on our daily program back in the day. He is a friend of the show. He is Jeffrey Chadiha. Jeffrey, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How about yourself?
Good, dude. Good. Really good to have you back. Thank you so much. Let me start with last night's game, Jeffrey. What was your reaction as to how the Titans showed up after going so long without so much as even a practice? How did they look to you last night?
They looked physical. They looked good. I mean, I was stunned. I thought they would get run over by the Buffalo Bills because of what you just said. The team not practicing that much and having all those issues. You hear coaches talk about distractions and all that stuff, and they had a million of them. But somehow they came out, and they were very physical. And I think I heard afterwards that Ryan Tannehill was saying that they were upset about the way they were getting treated in the media and things were being said about their COVID-19 outbreak. But what you saw was a team that is still very dangerous. And look, that stiff arm that Derrick Henry put on Josh Norman, I haven't seen something like that since I was watching Patrick Swayze back in Roadhouse. You know, when he just kind of manhandling people back in those days. So it looked good.
Man, you're so right. Jeffrey Chadiha is joining us. They did look good. They were physical. They played with a big chip on their shoulder, and they look great. Now, what about Buffalo? Where does that leave them? Like, they were in that strange limbo situation when it came to whether or not that game was going to be played, whether or not they should be preparing to face Kansas City. I mean, certainly not ideal, but how bad of a night, how bad of a performance was that for the Bills?
Well, that was tough for them, but I give them a little bit of a pass just because of their injury situation. When you go into a game like that without a Pro Bowl cornerback like Tre'Davious White, a deep threat like John Brown, Zach Moss, a pretty good running back who was out. They had linemen, other linebackers were hurt. They had like four or five starters who didn't play in that game. I think it's tough to beat a team like Tennessee on the road with the way Tennessee was playing, but I like Buffalo still. And I think I just watched the Chiefs get manhandled by the Raiders, and it makes you realize good teams lose in this league. But you look at the way Josh Allen's playing. Didn't show it last night, but I think he's taken a big step. And what they have around him on offense, what they have on defense, I think that team is certainly by the end of the year going to be pretty good.
Jeffrey Chadiha is joining us. All right, so let me jump ahead to the game that you just mentioned. You covered Vegas KC over the weekend. What did you make of how the Raiders showed up in that game?
Impressive. And I was one of those people who thought when John Gruden showed up in Oakland a couple years ago or 3 years ago that he was just going to get paid a lot of money and have a really bad run and it'd be the end of it. And what he showed was that he and Mike Mayock, the GM there, put together a pretty good plan. You look at what they put around Derek Carr with Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, Henry Ruggs, now a deep threat, a really good offensive line, and look at what they added on defense. It hadn't shown up that much before a couple days ago, but they've got some pretty good pieces and the back seven, the linebackers, and so they look faster, and they look like they're more committed, and they look like they believe in what John Gruden is saying. So people keep saying the Chiefs had a bad day and didn't come to play and underestimated them. I look at it like John Gruden's got that team going in the right direction.
You know, I tend to see it the same way as you. I thought that when Gruden showed up, I thought he would show up, take that paycheck, and really not make that big of a difference and maybe even hurt them more than he helps them. But that's not the case. I'll go back to the Chiefs in a minute, but you mentioned Derek Carr. Like, Derek Carr had lost all six times that he had played in Kansas City, but as you point out, he outplayed Patrick Mahomes on Sunday. It feels like, Jeffrey, it was not that long ago, there was all that talk about Gruden and Carr's days were numbered, that he was not going to be a Gruden guy. How much has that all changed since then?
Yeah, I think that was like 3 weeks ago.
Right.
It wasn't that long ago. I think it's changing quickly. And what John Gruden and again, Mike Mayock are proving is that, look, not every quarterback's going to be Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson. You're going to have to put people around them to make them play better. And so what I just said, when you see the supporting cast he has around him, Derek Carr didn't have those kind of players when he was coming into Arrowhead Stadium the six times before this past weekend. He didn't have them for most of his career. But when you see what they've done, and I think what they've also gotten rid of, I think when they traded Khalil Mack, people were laughing at them for what they did. People looked at the Antonio Brown trade was a disaster, but they got out of it fast. And so, again, those personnel moves have helped give Derek Carr the kind of support he needs. He's a good enough quarterback to win games with, and you're seeing that now with what he's doing.
Jeffrey Chidiha is joining us. So, Jeffrey, what about the Chiefs? Like, where does that leave them? For instance, as you just said, good teams get beat. This is not unusual. Good teams do lose in that league, and you don't want to overreact to only one loss. But as you look at Kansas City and the fact that they may have lost to the Patriots if Cam Newton did play, does it feel like there are a number of teams in the AFC that can take them down?
I thought that way a couple weeks ago when they played the Patriots. And I came away thinking what you just said, that if Cam Newton's playing that game, they end up losing. And I think there's two things happening with the Chiefs that should be of concern. One is that I think they've always had issues at cornerback, and they just weren't getting exposed the way they got exposed against the Raiders. But those plays the Raiders hit, they were there when they played Baltimore. They were there when they played the Patriots. They were there in the Super Bowl when Jimmy Garoppolo missed Emmanuel Sanders running wide open down the middle of the field in the fourth quarter. It's just that those quarterbacks didn't hit them. And so they got to find a way to shore up the back end of their secondary. And then the other part of it is that their offensive line isn't as good as it was last year. And so now they're not running the football well when people are playing them to, you know, basically putting everyone in coverage, rushing three or four guys and just saying, okay, we'll spy Mahomes and we'll see what happens. And it's what the Patriots did. It's what the Raiders did. And it's working.
We are talking to Jeffrey Chidiha. It is working. And then you think, all right, so maybe they're not the team to beat. Why don't we go to the next team? Maybe the Ravens. They're 4-1. All four of their wins have been blowouts. But, of course, that one loss was that 14-point loss at home to Kansas City. Like, how much of a mark did that loss to Kansas City leave? And is it hard to consider them legitimate AFC contenders until they get over that mental block, which is Kansas City?
Yeah, well, I still believe Kansas City is the best team in the league and the best team in the AFC. But, yeah, I think the Ravens learned that as well. And, unfortunately for them, they went into that game with I liken it to when Tommy Hearns fought Marvin Hagler back in when I was a kid, and Tommy Hearns tried to knock out Marvin Hagler. It was like a slugfest, and it wasn't a great strategy. And I think that's what the Ravens, how they approached the Chiefs, was like, we're going to throw our best punches at you and see what happens. And they saw what happened. They got ran out of the building. And so I think if they had a second chance at the Chiefs, they would look at what the Chargers did, the Raiders, the Patriots, and use that game plan, because you're not going to blitz Patrick Mahomes and overwhelm them and win the game. You're going to have to control him and find a way to make some plays. And they got to find a way to have Lamar Jackson get back to being a guy who wants to make plays as opposed to proving to people that he's a great dropback passer.
Dude, Tommy Hearns standing directly in front of Marvin Hagler and trying to fight that fight. Man, that was one of the most amazing things ever. It was not that smart. Tactically, that was not good. But, man, that was some Kronk gym stuff. That was Tommy Hearns. That's that was right. Detroit, man. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to blow this guy out the way I've blown everybody else out. It's like one of the most amazing things, right?
That's right. Jericho juice flying all over the place as a result, man. He was getting knocked. He got knocked out. It was a great three minutes of boxing.
Oh, one of the best ever.
Tommy Hearns. It wasn't good for him in the end.
Jeffrey Chidiha joining us. I'm glad you used that as an analogy. Always good to reset that. So after that game against Kansas City, Lamar Jackson called KC, quote, our kryptonite. Jimmy Smith said, quote, they have our number. I mean, like, where do you come out on that? Do you like the honesty, or is that not something that a team should admit publicly about another team?
I think it's good for them because I would imagine that the way last year ended for them after going 14-2, a 12-game winning streak, you know, top seed in the AFC playoffs and you get beat by Tennessee, I'm sure they felt like we ruined a great opportunity to win a championship here. Now they know that if the Chiefs had played then they probably would have gotten beaten in that game. And so they've got, for my money, the best roster in the league. They got a ton of talent. But I think that when they play the Chiefs, what ends up happening is they try to do things that they think they have to do to beat the Chiefs. And they get away from what they do well. But just as I said, I'm watching Lamar Jackson dropping back and, you know, their first drive, they go right down the field running the football. And then the last two plays of the drive, they're trying to throw it in the end zone. And it's just, I watched them play the Redskins the next week and Lamar Jackson's running for a 50-yard touchdown. I'm just like, why aren't you trying to do that against the Chiefs? So I think that if they really are being honest with themselves, and it sounds like they are, they'll recognize that they have to play the Chiefs differently if they want to beat them.
All right, so one more thought about that. I mean, obviously, it's about the matchup, and it's about the Chiefs, but is any of this, the struggles that the Ravens are having, is any of this about a struggle to deliver in the spotlight when the pressure and the attention are at their highest? Is it at all about that?
Oh, I think it is. I mean, they're starting to feel like the Houston Rockets in the NBA, where it's like they put up a lot of good numbers. They're really flashy in how they play. But when they get into a big playoff series, they don't show up. And I think you look at every They're 0-3 against the Chiefs since Mahomes has been a starter. They lost the Titans in the playoffs last year. They lost the year before, which I give them a little bit of a pass when they lost to the Chargers because Lamar Jackson, his first year as a starter, and they're running a makeshift offense. But they have to find a way to get a signature win. And those signature wins mean beating the best teams in the league in really high-magnitude situations.
Hey, Jeffrey, one thought before you go about Dak Prescott. You could see the kind of respect and love there was for him in the way the league and his peers reacted when he was injured. If you had to guess, I mean, the Cowboys obviously have three different ways they can handle this. They can franchise tag him again. They can extend him and do that long-term deal, or they could let him walk as a free agent. We have to wait and see how he responds to surgery. But if you had to guess, how do you think that thing plays out?
Well, I think if you're the Cowboys, you have to give a lot of thought to drafting a quarterback. Just as a security blanket. I mean, just not knowing how it's going to play out, what kind of quarterback he's going to be when he comes back, how long it's going to take. That team's built to win right now. And so they have all the pieces in place. I mean, the defense hasn't shown up, but they spent a lot of money. They got a lot of big-name players. So I think you have to do that, but you also have to give him an opportunity to, you know, to come back and prove to the team that he can still be the quarterback they expected him to be. You know, I thought it was very emotional. It was a very emotional roller coaster for me watching football on Sunday when you see Alex Smith playing in Washington, and on the same day, Dak Prescott, you know, tears his ankle up in a very similar type of situation. But if Dak Prescott can look at Alex Smith and see what he's done, and hopefully not go through what Alex Smith went through, hopefully it's the same. It's a great comeback story for him as well.
He is a senior columnist with NFL.com. He is an NFL Network on-air talent. He is a Sports Emmy Award winner. Used to appear with us rather religiously on the Daily TV show back in the day. And a good friend of this show, too, Jeffrey Chidihai. Jeffrey, appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Always good to talk to you, Jeffrey. Jeffrey Chidihai does a really nice job.